Laberlümmel, der Corpo-Talk. Ein Podcast von Corpus für Corpus. Jetzt laber nicht, gönn dir und hörst dir rein.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Laberlümmel, der Corpo-Talk. Mein Name ist Jan.
Und mein Name ist Paul.
Und unser heutiger Gast ist Alexander Rostocki, ein Farbenbruder aus Polen. Er ist alter Herr der Szwiczek Filistrow Korporacji Akademici Sarmacja und der Korporacja Akademica Hermesia. Da er leider kein Deutsch spricht, werden wir das Interview auf Englisch führen. Hello Alexander, nice that you are here and that we can conduct this interview today.
It's my pleasure, of course.
Thank you very much for your time. Alexander, please tell us a bit about your background and how you got involved in the fraternity movement in Poland.
So as you said, my name is Alexander Rostocki, and I'm a member of, I'm a Philister of Sarmacja and Hermesia, the first fraternity, degree in printing engineering. So my professional career is dedicated to printing industry, mostly packaging industry. So if you guys smoke cigarettes, most of the boxes that you're opening, also all the IQOS and stuff like that is produced from our products. When it comes to fraternity, I have joined my first fraternity in 1994. And then I have been given like honorary philistership of Hermesia in 1994. So it's a long time, a long journey since 1994. It started a bit earlier, but it's a long story. We'll come to that. And if we are asking how I got involved, well, I've met a group of students in 1993 who were having an idea of reestablishing a fraternity at Warsaw University. Although I was studying at Warsaw University of Technology, I mean, we had a lot of values in common, and I thought, well, why not? This is a great idea to revive something that is traditional, will bring a lot of fun to us, and actually it did.
Wir alle kennen die typischen Herausforderungen in unseren Verbindungen. Oft kämpfen wir mit nervigen administrativen Aufwand, sei es die Verwaltung von Mitgliedern, unorganisierte Keilgastarbeit oder Probleme, inaktive Mitglieder stärker einzubinden. Ich habe kürzlich mit Axel gesprochen, dessen Softwarelösung Gaudiam genau die Herausforderungen speziell von uns Verbindungen angeht, damit wir wieder mehr Zeit für echtes Verbindungsleben haben. Beispielsweise bei der Veranstaltungsplanung wird oft stille Post gespielt. Wichtige Informationen versacken in chaotischen Gruppenchats und am Ende weiß keiner mehr wann, wo und wer. Gaudiam bringt alles an einem Ort zusammen. Termine, Teilnehmerlisten, Erinnerungen und Last-Minute-Updates am PC oder per App und ganz ohne Nachrichtenflut. Auch die Mitgliederverwaltung wird enorm erleichtert. Mit Gaudiam könnt ihr Kontaktdaten, Ämter und Verpflichtungen automatisiert und übersichtlich verwalten, ohne manuelle Listen in zig Verteilern. So wird Verwaltungsarbeit effizient reduziert und der Fokus liegt wieder auf den echten Zusammensein an Kneipenabenden und wiederbelebten Treffen in Ortsgruppen. Natürlich gibt es noch viele weitere nützliche Funktionen wie ein Archiv und Keilgastunterstützung, aber das erfahrt ihr auch auf gaudiam.de. Die Gründer von Gaudiam sind selbst Core-Studenten und mit den Herausforderungen und Verbindungen seit über 8 Jahren bestens vertraut. Mit zufriedenen Nutzern aus inzwischen über 128 Bünden, von jungen Damenverbindungen bis hin zu den tradierten Cores und CVern, ist Gaudiam einzigartig. Zu Recht Marktführer und entwickelt sich ständig für uns Verbindungen weiter. Ihr wollt euer gesamtes Verbindungsleben digital unterstützt unter einem Dach, nachhaltig und auf eure Bedürfnisse angepasst? Dann schaut mal auf gaudiam.de vorbei und macht einen Termin mit Axel oder Hendrik für eine Demo. Zieht's euch rein!
Alexander, what inspired you to re-establish the student fraternity system in Poland?
Well, that's a great question, and actually there were two reasons for that. First of all, there was a big enthusiasm of the students. Well, I think it would be much easier to understand for some, you know, older guys from Eastern Germany. The wall was falling. We saw everything, the old system falling apart. We were brought up in quite anti-system atmosphere in our families. Our families were quite traditional. And the second thing was the Philisters of pre-war fraternities. So around 1990, the pre-war Philisters founded an association, or kind of a Philister Verband for all Polish fraternities.
Oh, cool.
And they started promoting fraternities. They started publishing books or booklets, some memoirs, and that was extremely inspiring to see these guys who are like, you know, 80 plus, being so active and being such a good friends, keeping all the contacts. I think that was also a kind of a dedication that really sold the idea to us. So we wanted to continue that, and we got a lot of support from them, mostly moral support and some knowledge transfer. The problem was that they soon started dying out. But that was extremely, extremely inspiring to sit and listen to their stories, to drink with them. You know, a lot of them were like war heroes and had unbelievable stories behind them. So absolutely fantastic times.
So you had a first glimpse of the so-called Lebensbund principle, like we said in German.
Oh, yes, very much.
Can you describe the history of fraternities in Poland before their revival in the 1990s?
Of course. I mean, the history is very, very long. I think we'll skip the Naziones in the medieval times in Italy, in Padova and Bologna. We had a very big Naziones in there, but let's stick to the fraternities as we understand them today. Uh-huh. And actually, the oldest Polish fraternity, or what used to be Polish fraternity, still exists in Germany. And that's called Luzatia in Leipzig. Yes. You need to know that this core was founded in 1807. And in 1808, it actually was called Coniunctio Lusato Polonica. Because, well, these were local students from Lausitz, but also a big contingent of Polish students. So this was like a Polish Lusatian fraternity. And that's, in terms of fraternities as we know them, this is the oldest fraternity with some Polish roots, although currently it's purely German fraternity. Even in, I think, a year later, it switched the name back to Lusatia. So, but well, the Polish fraternities per se, the first ones that these were in Germany, they were founded in 1815, and then that was Landsmannschaft Polonia in Breslau, which later on turned to Burschenschaft Polonia and was disbanded because of political reasons. And the same name, Burschenschaft Polonia in Berlin, also around 1817. Parallel to that, yeah, but the Raczeks, they come from Breslau, and that's a different story. Raczeks, that was a restaurant or a bar where the students were meeting, and that's where the name is coming from. Parallel to that, to the fraternities in Germany, as you know, since end of 18th century, Poland was there was a partition of Poland. So Poland was divided between the Russian Empire, Prussian state, and Habsburg state of Austria. So actually, Poland did not exist, and all Polish students needed to. I mean, if somebody wanted to have a higher education, they needed to study somewhere. The problem was that in Russian Empire there were not much universities except the ones, the German universities in Baltic states. So these were universities in Dorpat, currently Tartu, and Riga. So also there, one of the first Polish fraternities was started and still existing, and that was in 1828. In Dorpat, a fraternity called Convent Polonia, which exist currently in Gdańsk. These were the very beginnings, and in terms of the German based fraternities, we don't know very much about them because they were active for a short time, as that was the period of Napoleonic Wars and the independence struggle, also the attempts of getting one German state. I mean, the political issue was very hot, and also it was already a problem, like with the first Burschenschaften for the Prussian state, but then the Polish were even worse, so they were active for a very short time, and they were banned by the political police, more or less. But in Baltic states, the atmosphere for development was much more favorable, and we had new fraternities appearing there. So after Convent Polonia, Arponia started its activity in Riga, and then also Valencia. My fraternity Sarmacia started its activity in 1908 in St. Petersburg. There was also a fraternity in Vienna called the Jagiellonia. So before the war, before the First World War, I think we had like 10 fraternities altogether. There were also some like technical fraternities or some kind of Studentenverbindungen in Germany that were gathering Polish students, but we like in Hochweide or Mittweide, the technical university. But I don't know much details about them. They were using the colors, they were using the circles, you know, all the symbolics and so on. So that was the first chapter. After the First World War, we regained the independency, and the fraternities started growing like the mushrooms after good rain, you know. So they were all together. Yes. Yes. Black. Oh yes. That was the. I would say that was the best period in our mutual history. I mean, we were real friends, and I would say it's pity that this haven't lasted for a long time, but I must say that's something that I always remind in speaking about the first Polish fraternities. Absolutely, we have a lot of common goals by that time. What can I say more about that? So let's move to interwar period. So during interwar period, we have a lot of students. First of all, in 1915, Germans approached Warsaw, kicked out the Russians out, and opened two universities: Warsaw University of Technology and Warsaw University. And that brought a ground for fraternities to be established there. So my fraternity Sarmacja moved from St. Petersburg to Warsaw in 1915. Also, Riga-based fraternities Arconia and Valencia started its activity in Warsaw as soon as 1915. And after the First World War ended, this was like a starter. So more and more fraternities started appearing. And altogether, during the interwar period, I think we have over 250 fraternities being active in Poland.
So much.
Quite a lot, yes. And apart from Polish fraternities, there were also Jewish fraternities, some Russian fraternities, Belarusian fraternities, Ukrainian fraternities, and so on. most of the Polish fraternities, though. And I think that's what actually was for a moment a bit similar to German fraternity scene. Well, they started dividing into different groups. So they were like Dachverbände formed.
I guess this is a normal process then when larger number of fraternities and then you have some kind of a specialization of them.
So the first fraternities, this pre-First World War, they were a bit distanced. They were like a bit on course. Uh-huh. So staying away from politics and things like that. On the other hand, all these younger fraternities, which were formed after the First World War, mm-hmm. you know, being inspired of new independency, enjoying the new state, they were connected very much to national right wing. And I would say that was the majority of fraternities. That's a bit like Burschenschaften.
The same year like in Germany. Just
yes,
Polish nationalism.
Apart from that, there was a couple of fraternities that identified themselves as Christian, uh-huh. So they were rejecting duels, mm-hmm. And that was like a third group.
Okay.
So everything ended in 1939, sadly, first of all, you know, the students, as most of the students by that time, they did their military service and got the lowest officer ranks, like mm-hmm. lieutenant or.
So many have been killed in Katyn, maybe then later.
Yeah, roughly 300 of them were killed in Katyn. I would say the war losses we estimate around 25% of the members of all fraternities. So
that's
considering
a high
we have like, that's a very big number. In some cases more, in some cases less, but that's the number. And you know, on top of that, many of this these people remained abroad because we have a big army in exile. First of all, I mean, many people were arrested and taken to Siberia, and they came back via Middle East and formed the so-called Polish Second Corps in Italy and in Syria. So they were fighting in Southern Europe and in Africa. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, we have army in UK, so airmen and tank brigade and so on and so on. So many of these people were also fraternity members, and as the communists started in 1944, 1945 in Poland, they could not really come back. Mm-hmm. Those who stayed in Poland were persecuted. Many of these people were murdered because of their political activity or social activity before the war.
Okay.
Or during the war, you know, being in the underground or remaining in the underground after the Second World War, and that caused a really severe losses, and in the end, a kind of a gap in the tradition. So, this fraternity members started. Of course, they kept very close relations during all that period, even during the communist times. Mm-hmm. But they could. They could only start to run an active, more active social activity in late 70s. So then they started meeting, having some reunions, Stiftungfests, commerce, etc.
Oh, this is something which happened also in the DDR and. Eastern part, I heard it several times now in the podcast here. There were some fraternities who meet in secret and try to uphold and reestablish the old traditions.
That's exactly the story here. And of course, the secret police was doing a lot to undermine this. Interestingly, that was the same story also in Baltic states. And in Baltic states, they have even started the first active fraternities at universities before the fall of the war, of the wall. So even in 89, so that was well before it started in Poland. In Poland, the first fraternity started. Tarnasia was the first such fraternity to be reestablished in 1992. There were some attempts a bit earlier in Poznan with Lechia. And also Arkonia, which was one of the biggest fraternities, they had quite active Altiheren. Since late 70s. So actually they were bringing their sons in tradition of their fraternity, and they were actually accepting them to fraternity. Well, that was, of course, that wasn't not one-to-one copy of a normal fraternity, which is active at the university, which has its own venue or house or something like that. But at least it was the way for the tradition to survive. And that was a good job. So when I started, when I met some guys in 1993, we tried to reestablish one fraternity called Polonia in at Warsaw University. It didn't work out, but we met this philosopher band. Okay. And they said, well, there is also already Salmacia being active here. They are doing quite well. If you want, you can also reestablish a new fraternity. So part of us went to Salmacia, part of us reestablished fraternity called Akvilonia, which is still doing very well in Warsaw. And that's how it started. And then, of course, there were more and more fraternities coming.
Okay. So you have a very vivid life there. So it's much going on in Poland. It's good to hear. Then let's talk a little bit about fraternity life. Paul, I guess you have some questions for Alexander.
So one of my questions I have for you is, how does fraternity life in Poland is different from that in other countries, and especially to Germany?
That's a pretty simple question, and I can answer it straightforward. Well, the first difference is that very few fraternities in Poland, I think only one actually, has its own house. So people are not living in the houses, except my fraternity here in Warsaw. So we are the only fraternity that have people living in the house. Otherwise, most of the fraternities have their venues. There is either a cellar somewhere in the center of the town or some kind of...
So you can say it like in Germany, where some fraternity has Etagen.
Yes.
And not living space.
Yes.
Ah, okay. So, and what are the main values and principles upheld by Polish fraternities?
Well, I can speak only about my fraternity. I think I do not feel comfortable speaking for others, because, of course, each fraternity is different. But I think for us, what is very important is tradition, is honor, it's friendship. My second fraternity, Hermesia, also underlines, as they were founded at the Economical University of Poznan in 1926, entrepreneurship. Poznan is very much about entrepreneurship, so they underline this value.
Of course. And how has the fraternity system in Poland evolved since the 90s?
Sadly, not very much, I would say. I mean, except the number of members. I mean, some of the fraternities are developing, some are a bit stagnated, I would say. I think it's always a matter of redefining the role of the fraternity, because you can consider yourself as, reenacting 19th century students or pre-war students, but that's not a big value. I mean, maybe for some people. I mean, some people dress up like Vikings or medieval knights or So you can do that the same. You can do the same with wearing 19th century student caps and even fencing and doing this stuff. But I'm not sure whether this is a big value. This is not very developing, except you're gaining some historical knowledge. So it depends very much. It's difficult to answer. I mean, my fraternity is one of the few which try to redefine and find new ways. So you know, for instance, like, you know, fencing. I mean, fencing was not very popular, like German style fencing or Mensur fencing.
I heard about the fencing that in Poland it's kind of illegal, I think. And
Not really. Okay. No.
Because I know from Sarmatia that they are traveling to Germany and most of the time in Berlin and training there with like Burschenschaft der Märker.
Okay, I'm not aware of this. It's more complicated because we have two Sarmatias now, but okay, let's skip that topic because this is a bit internal. But yeah, we've been organizing Mensurs in Poland, definitely, and Helmezia have organized three parties last summer in Poland. We did at least one party in Poland last year as well. So no, it's not illegal. It's not popular. So it's very difficult to find fencing partners. But I think it's very important.
Very interesting. Yes, it's a new way of watching about a theme.
Yes. Well, I think we were the first fraternity to popularize the fencing, and you know, I will come back to this topic later, maybe if we speak about some kind of success stories and things like that. But I think this is very different to Germany, because in Germany, I mean, if you have fencing fraternities, yeah, some people are going there for purpose. Some people go there to live in the house because they are looking for a cheaper accommodation. Yeah, let's face it, that's true. And then they are somehow, you know, obliged to fence. I know many cases when this is not not something that many people really enjoy. They do it because they need to do that. That's their obligation. But I think we take it from a bit different side here.
There's also a little diverse perspective here in Germany. We have fencing fraternities and we have non-fencing fraternities. Yes. And so I guess it's the same like here. But let's talk a little about personal experiences. What were some of the most significant experiences and moments you had as a fraternity member in Poland?
I think one of the most significant moments was when my son joined, because, you know, as a father, that's something very important. I think there's nothing more satisfying if you're and making you proud when your son wants to follow you and contribute to what you have been building for many years. And
this is something very special when I see it in other fraternities, when there's father and son active. This is a quite strong bond then between the both, and it's also cool for the fraternity.
Absolutely, because, you know, I think it's like, you know, archetype that young sons like to challenge their fathers. That's quite bringing a lot of problems sometimes, because you know, the younger guy wants to prove something to his father, who wants the best to him. Sometimes he's not doing very well, because if this is his first child, I mean, you need to learn this kind of things. You are not being born as father. So, you have this competition sometimes, and it's being pretty harsh. And I think that's a sign of like a maturity. If you quit this kind of fights, and then, the younger guy says, yeah, that's the right way. I want to do this in the future. And you don't even need to ask me for that. So that's really cool.
Is there a particular success story from your time in fraternities what you like to share?
Maybe one more story of my own, you know, because I was also quite proud of myself when I did my first party being 51 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. I was an active student, we haven't had fencing. It only started in early 2000s or late 1990s, but then I was already a philister. I was working far away from my fraternity on the Polish-German border in town of Küstrin, in the paper mill. So I haven't had much connection with my fraternity, and I always was sorry that I could not dance for my fraternity. So when I came back and, you know, get more established, and I started training. And that was combined with some health problems I had. So that was an extra challenge for me. But I did it. And the goal was set to do it before I become 50 years old. But we had Corona by that time, you know, and we needed to quit everything. Everything was ready. I was ready. And then I went to Heidelberg and I visited Landsmannschaft Teutonia, and we have been discussing. I mean, I that was not the purpose of my visit there, but I've met an older guy. Say, I've heard you want to have your first party, so you can have it with me. And you know, we were after a couple of beers, so I didn't know whether this is really serious, but I said, yeah, why not? Sure. And they called me a month later. You want to? Were you serious, Alexander? I said, yeah, of course. So we had this party. And that was, I think, one of the best things in my life, I can tell you. The beer never tasted better than after this. And that was really something, that was an achievement from my side. But if we speak about fraternity issues, yeah, I think it was big achievement to first of all convince my brothers from Hermesia to start fencing, because they were non-fencing fraternity. They haven't had that tradition. They were active for a short period before the war, because they were established in 1926, and then they were re-established in 15 years ago only. So they had all their own problems, you know, to get the place to meet, to recruit the guys, and this kind of issues, just to, you know, struggling for survival, more or less. Typical fraternity problems, as we have them everywhere, especially the young fraternities.
This sounds very familiar.
Familiar, yeah, isn't it? So, as I saw that they were a bit struggling with new idea for fraternity, I say, yeah, you should go fencing. And at first they were a bit skeptical, you know, how many trainings? I say, well, you need to do it at least like twice per week. Otherwise it makes no sense. So it was difficult to convince them, but we did it. And as like a gift from the heaven, a guy from Landsmannschaft, Franconia Teutonia of the Schanz zu Regensburg, appeared in Poznań, Polish guy, Konrad Nowak. And he contacted us and he said, well, I've heard that you are fencing. I said, yeah, we would like to, but, you know, we need to have somebody to support this, I said, yeah, I've been like it's 4X in my fraternity, so I can help you. So, cool. And that's where it started. And actually the success story behind this is that Hermesia became the first Flickschlagend fraternity in Poland. First and only, I would say. So that's all the cool members who want to get the colors, they need to do the party.
So you were responsible for a historical step in Poland.
Yeah, that's something that's maybe historical. Yeah, maybe. But it's very satisfying, I must say.
We can hear it from your voice that you're very proud about it.
Yeah, well, and I think cool. the guys are also very proud about it, I can tell you.
I guess so. So Paul takes over.
So now we have, I would say, a very important topic of questions. And that's, how has your time as a fraternity member helped you build connections, networks, or both? And exactly not only in Poland, so about the Poland away, so nationally and internationally.
Yes, well, I must say I have a huge I have a huge gratitude to my fraternities. I really owe a lot. Because I have, first of all, I have learned a lot from during my active membership. But then, of course, well, we have the huge network of contacts in Poland and abroad, both social and professional. So, I mean, and as I'm a very active person, you know, I'm not a person who would sit on one place. Well, first of all, because of my job, which really involves me in a lot of traveling. But also, I like traveling. I move around a lot, you know, traveling all around the world, mostly Asia and also a lot in Europe. And it's nice to meet people. It's much better to you know, to have a beer with a guy who is sharing your values than staying in the hotel, I think. And that's my experience. If I travel for business somewhere, like in Germany, I always have this app, Fellerbummel. I check whether there's something interesting around or somebody that I know, or, you know, I already know some addresses. So it's always...
So you have the Kollerbummel app on your mobile phone. That's cool, because Björn Maszolik, the founder, inventor of Kollerbummel, was a guest in the past here.
Yeah, I think we were the first fraternity in color, first Polish fraternity in Kollerbummel. So back in, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that.
So, and how important is community and camaraderie within the fraternities expected to you?
Yeah, I think you mentioned this expression Lebensbund. I think it's absolutely important to have a bunch of good guys that you can rely on, and you can rely on them for life. And, you know, basically I have very few friends who aren't fraternity members.
That's the same here, I guess.
Sometimes I'm a bit sorry about that, because, you know, it's like, you know, being closed in some kind of a cage.
Bubble here in Germany.
Yeah, bubble, yes, exactly. But on the other hand, I mean, if it works, it works, you know. It's
So it's easier to have friends or Jan says, bubble, when you have with the same ideas and with the same, so you have one theme and you're all in the same bubble. So it's easier to make friendships.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because, well, you have regular meetings, you have, you know, you can talk to people, you travel together with them, you learn them. I mean, you see, I mean, nature, as I said, nature hates assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you immediately, I mean, this is a sure, always, I mean, yeah, we have assholes in fraternities, absolutely. But it's
in Germany,
it's
absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are no assholes.
I'm sure of that. I bet. But it's something that is being a short term strategy to be an asshole in fraternity. It doesn't work.
Oh, cool. How do you see the future of the student fraternity system in Poland? Do you see there a bright future?
Well, I see a slow development, I would say. I think currently, after this first period, you know, for kind of a, you know, early youth, the fraternities are looking for some kind of a new identity. They are trying to adapt to current situation. I mean, most of the fraternity, also the fraternities who are more into like historical reenactment. I mean, okay, I'm a bit ironic here, but that's how it looked. Died out. I mean, copying one-to-one pre-war schemes does not work. Well, first of all, because that word does not exist.
Absolutely. I guess it's the same situation here in Germany.
It's a
cleavage between conservatism, traditions, progression, and future.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to stick to tradition. But, you know, you need to redefine. You need to be traditional in current times, and it means something absolutely different than being traditional, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah, we have in German this word Zeitgeist, which has been transferred one-to-one in the English language. They also say Zeitgeist, is that what you mean? That we fraternities be a big stone of conservatism in a very harsh sea of progression.
Okay, yeah, maybe. I think it's more into personal development. It's more into friendship. It's more into networking. It's more about building a good network of good social network and you know mutual supporting each other and things like that. So
absolutely. This is, and to be happy.
Yeah, and to be happy in the end of the way. In the end of the day, that's why we live. Sense of life.
Absolutely, it's a way of life, and it makes me very happy when I listen to you that it's one to one the same thing in Poland like in Germany.
I think what will also happen that the two or three Dachverbände will sooner or later. Appear here because it's very clear that you know if you refer to some tradition and then you are trying to place it in new order of things, in new surrounding, in new environment, well, you need to gather with a bunch of similar guys because well you would like to meet similar people. I mean, on one hand, this is not very developing to meet the same guys. I mean, being all the same. But on the other hand, if you're similar, that makes things much easier. The communication is much easier. The values are similar, so you don't need to explain to people, yeah, but this tradition is important, honor is important, or, you know, fencing is important, or, you know. You're not necessarily are going to become an alcoholic if you drink a lot of beer and, you know, all sorts of such things, you know.
Yes. It's like a marriage, you know.
So I believe, and this is very, very clear now in Poland, that similar fraternities are building either cartels or, you know, meeting together. Well, we have around 20 fraternities in Poland currently, so you cannot meet everybody, you know, on every occasion. That's not possible.
But it sounds good. 20 are a good number.
Yeah.
It's better than 10 or 5. So there will be a good exchange, I guess, in the future. I guess there will be maybe then a more competition between your fraternities, maybe.
I think there is already some members. Competition, yes.
And this makes you stronger. The competition is
absolutely
good.
Absolutely.
So, and what advice would you give to other countries looking to revive their fraternity systems?
I'm not sure if there are any countries left to revive the fraternity systems because the Baltic states are doing the best, I would say.
I saw it on Instagram. They're very active and it's pretty cool to see what they are doing.
Yes, and I think this also, this discussion is quite interesting because it shows clearly that, we see some openness and we want to learn and at least, you know, compare ourselves to something. I am not necessarily liking this attitude saying, yeah, okay, we have our fraternity, we are in the bubble, we don't care about the external world. I think you can always learn from other people. I like, you know, that's why I like visiting fraternities in Latvia, in Estonia, in Germany, in Austria, etc.
And yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I think this is really cool. And fraternities in Baltics, they are doing extremely well. You know, I mean, just imagine that there were like pre-presidents of Latvia being fraternity members and not honorary philisters, but, you know, active members. And the same in Estonia. So it's really something that... And I mean the post-war period, not you know, old times, because in the old times they were all members of fraternities, even the Estonian flag. The same as German is a flag of Estonian fraternity, actually.
Absolutely. This was one thing I wanted to mention. I guess the Estonian flag is derived from a core, from Dorpat, I guess.
They say that it's Estonian Student Association. It's a funny story, actually, because they say that they are the only core, and all the other fraternities, they say they are not the core, they are association. It's a kind of a insider competition, but they have absolutely fantastic house in Dorpat, one of the most beautiful houses I ever seen, very historical. And they appear as any other fraternity in the world, wearing bands, wearing decals, fencing, etc. So,
pretty cool.
Very cool.
Alexander, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, well, I think the message from an old guy to younger fraternity members could be... don't expect instant gratification. It will come. But you need to invest.
Absolutely. And the more you invest, the better it becomes.
Yeah, and you need to both invest in yourself and in your fraternity and be modest. Don't be an asshole. It won't work.
I can approve this method. This is good. Alexander, where can our listeners learn more about Polish fraternities and especially your work and your both fraternities?
Well, you can look at our Facebook or Instagram. I think we can copy the addresses under this podcast. I also run a historical fan page on Facebook called Frats at War.
You want to tell something about it?
Yeah, okay. I can tell a couple of words. That's my project. I'm an engineer. I have a technical education, but I'm also a historical researcher. I've inherited this from my grandfather, who was a professor of history. And I've been always keen on military history. So, Since a couple of years, maybe, I don't know, 7 years or so, we are running a discussion group and also a fan page regarding the military history of fraternities. So we are posting some information about different fraternities, how they contributed to like independence struggle, or about some famous army members from Germany, from Poland, from Baltic states, who contributed to military attempts or independence of their countries.
So it's cool. The page name is Frats at War, Military History of Student Fraternities.
Yes.
At Facebook. So we will do it as well in the show notes. It's pretty cool. It's a very nice and interesting work you're doing there, because military history is, I guess, a guy's thing. Especially, and connected with fraternity, it must be a big success, I guess.
Yes, especially that this worked out well also in in cooperation with museums, and we have done I think at least 3 exhibitions at Museum of Warsaw University of Technology and some other places, showing the artifacts, but also information and history of different people, but also fraternities, in slightly different scope than it's usually considered, because in Poland, in Baltic states, fraternities are very much about patriotism. I mean, they were built on struggle for independence, And, you know, it's very simple to talk about, you know, I love my country and I will fight for it or not. Maybe it's changing nowadays, but earlier it was pretty common that, you know, I will shed my blood for my country, blah, 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 blah. But these moments were the best verification, and these people, you know, shown very well that they were able to sacrifice their life for their values that they learned in their fraternities. And I think it's like a tribute to them. So
this is ja also a big discussion point in was in the past, a big discussion point in German fraternities was did the Fuchs or the member a military service or not?
Yes.
And it was a very, very, very difficult and long discussion, but most fraternities now in Germany, they accept people who did the civil service instead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a big question anymore because we have, yeah, this, yeah, the past changed, but now it's become more hostile in the world. Maybe this change again, but we will see in the future, I guess.
Yes, in Helmesia, many of our members are members of territorial defense, and also in Sarmatia we have a couple of them doing like a voluntary service. It's like normal army service, but on weekends and like a month's training camp in the summertime and some special trainings in the meantime. So that's very popular in Baltic states. In Estonia, they have a compulsory military service. So most of the members are, you know, after the service. And I must say, this is showing a huge difference when it comes to discipline and, you know, respect and modesty of the members and things like that.
That's cool. So, Alexander, thank you. That was a long, long Laberlümmel, like we say in Germany. Thanks for being there. Hope you had fun.
It was my pleasure, of course.
For us as well.
Thank and of course, if you are in Warsaw, in Poznan, yeah, you're always welcome to contact me, and we can have a couple of beers in our
That's
house.
Cool. I will accept this offer and come then.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Or any of your listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a very, very interesting insight of yours. There are a few things I learned again. It's in Germany, having a house is, I guess, a pretty German thing, because the most fraternities in other countries, they meet in small flats or in restaurants. And this is far more common outside of Germany than I thought. So thank you for this new perspective. And dear listeners, please like, comment and share this episode. We now have a Patreon account that supports this project massively. We would be very happy if you would like to become a patron or maybe a producer. All informations and links which we mentioned here today in this talk are in the show notes. Until then, go for a stroll. Other houses are nice too. Bye.
Take care. Bye.